go. All right, Gloucester Cast 190, packed house. It is the 3rd of July, which is Gloucester's really unofficial 4th of July, because after this, it's kind of like 4th of July is just like, what does everybody do? Everybody's looking at standing around looking
that's
at
right.
each other because
right.
Gloucester
so celebrates everything on the 3rd.
Right.
Every year.
This is a big day for Gloucester, and Harl's Parade is awesome. And then tomorrow is more of a Rockport.
Yes.
Anybody goes to Rockport for their incredible bonfire. Have you guys ever, anyone done the Rockport bonfire?
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
You have to, if it's awesome.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm jotting it down right now.
There you go.
Really sweet.
All right, we're going to go around. We're going to do introductions. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Donna Sedalter-Toman, and I opened up a jewelry store called Diva for Donna's Infinite Variety of Adornments 2 days ago on Main Street.
There you go.
Sedalia Schwartz. I'm the marketing director for Lionwall Auto Group.
And we're here, we're also big part of, which is a huge part of the Bluefin Blowout.
That's right. We are the presenting sponsor for the Bluefin Blowout.
My good friend Eric Schwartz is in the peanut gallery.
Hello.
There you go.
Good to see everybody.
Good morning, Gloucester. Catherine.
Kat Ryan. Well, why is it like you can't? What is it always so like? It's Catherine Ryan. Her post is under Catherine. You don't get credit for what you do because you just say Catherine. It's Catherine Ryan. And she's shooing me right now. And who else do we got here? My longtime co-host.
Kim Smith.
Good
morning.
All right.
Good morning, Gloucester.
There we go. Probably going to get interrupted like 15 times today, but that's okay. It's very good. We're going to start out since you showed up first, Donna.
Because I was afraid of getting lost, right? New Year.
Donna and I, we went back and forth about 15 times in emails. Like, she seemed very nervous about what the process was, what was going to happen. And then, but you got here. I found it. And you didn't die in the process.
Not yet.
And the first thing that I noticed when you came in is your incredible hair.
And we take it off and show you, no.
And then we had this, and we went right into how healthy it is, and I had to know what product it is because I'm a huge fan of women.
He actually wrote down the product.
I'm a huge fan of the Moroccan oil.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Do you use it?
It's an ongoing.
No, but I buy it for my lovely Kate, who has beautiful
Kate
hair.
Right here.
Volleyball player. Where is it?
Right here.
Yeah, that's Kate. Yeah, she's awesome. So, but you use a different product, and why don't you describe what it is?
It's a conditioner.
It's
called Catwalk Curls Rock.
Catwalk. Gets my highest recommendation for women with curly hair.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
What it basically does is it kind of calms it down, because if I didn't use it, it would probably be. Probably the side of the room here. So
yeah. Wow. So tell me about that. So you opened up
the name of the business,
right?
I love it.
Isn't it incredible?
I love it. I have short hair and I have to wear a hat because I look awful in the morning.
If I wear a hat, they pop up like they either look like Harpo Marx with everything out here, or they slowly go.
See, they have to go to your store just to get the hair experience.
Well, I was telling him I was going to name it Big Haired Girl, but I wasn't sure how people would react. But it's now. So
tell the people how that came to be, the Big Haired Girl story.
I was driving in Mattapan because I've been doing healthcare for almost 50 years, same as running in tandem with jewelry. And as I was finishing doing some consulting for a community health center, and three girls literally started walking across the street in massive traffic. I screeched on the brakes and I went, seriously? And they turned around and said, what's your problem, big haired girl? And I just thought it was hilarious, so I kind of accepted it as my handle.
I love it.
Awesome. So it was really funny.
It is one funny word. So you just opened up your shop.
Yes.
It was where Fabiola was.
Fabiola, yep.
Fabiola. And on... Kat, you're very familiar with this because you were involved with the net, the fishnet thing.
Yeah,
that's that corner.
Yeah.
What's the name of that street?
That's Parsons Street.
Parsons Street, on the opposite corner of the dress code.
Yes, I'm right
in the
alley.
You have a great neighbor.
Oh, we do, and we're all into pink, black, and white. The signs are pink, black, and white. Mine are too.
Yeah.
She says, oh no, more pink, black, and white. I said, for sure. Barbara is hilarious.
She's awesome. Good soul.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's
so
great.
Tell me the whole, Diva is the name of the store, and it stands for?
Donna's Infinite Variety of Adornments. I started making jewelry when I was in college, giving it away. Then I started doing juried shows and taking gold lessons and silver lessons. And Eventually, I'd have one table at a show, and that became two tables at a show, and I started trading with other artists, and then it became 10 tables, and then I started doing it in my house twice a year by invite for something like 25 years, and I saw this space in Newton. I said, oh, this will be cool, not knowing what retail was like.
Yeah.
And so I've been there in a shop for 8 years, and when my husband passed in 2004, we used to come up to Good Harbor all the time, and I found a little condo. And now I have a house, sold the condo, and I said, God, if I'm going to put my entire retirement in this money pit, which is basically sucking me dry, I might as well move up here. And so I saw Don, who I knew from Newton at Fabola. The drummer.
Yeah.
And I said, if this place ever becomes available, call me, because this will be a perfect spot. Called me last November. Spoke with Tom Lance, who's the landlord, who also opened the Brass Monkey. And here I am. So in the past month and a half, I closed my shop, packed the house, and have been working nonstop to get it open, which we did 2 days ago with the Chamber of Commerce.
Awesome.
In a massive ribbon cutting.
Very nice.
Thank you. That's so nice.
Yes.
So I'm really excited about being here. It was a rather insane thing because I really didn't know anybody. And I said, you know, gotta be here.
Yeah.
Here I am.
So what type of jewelry... Wait. I want to say something. So you walk in. I was running around.
You can run in. You can crawl in. And you had
Kim's wedding ring immediately. And you told her... Like immediately, you knew the history of the ring. What kind of decade it was kind of built in.
Right.
It was your grandmother, Kim. What was the ring?
It's from 1923, and it was my husband's grandmother's engagement ring.
She told you it's actually older than that.
Yeah. Yes, it's older.
It's older than
she,
that. It's more turn of the century.
It's
got a lot of schmutz in the back.
Yeah, to make it more sparkly and shiny.
I want to see the ring.
A lot of schmutz.
But the amazing thing is she knew everything about it, the history of it, how it was cut, where it came from, you know, everything about it.
Well, for me, it's not just selling a piece of jewelry. There's this whole history behind it. I mean, even my pieces run from the early 1700s to contemporary, and I've been working with artists for over 20 years, some of them, and what they put into a piece and how they make it. And also I relearned history because the old pieces are completely indicative of what is going on at the time. I mean, you know, Bakelite and all the plastics came in because they needed the metals for war. When Queen Victoria lost her Prince Albert, became black jewelry and everything was mourning. And Nouveau came in because they couldn't stand wearing black anymore, so it was all insects and nature. And so each piece has a history. So if you don't, you know, if you want the history, that's where I'm psyched to talk about it and present it. And I also make my own. And it's a full-fledged sickness. I mean, it's completely out of control, which you will see. It is completely out of control, and it's fun.
What are your hours, Don? Like, when can we go?
I'm trying to figure it out.
I know.
Go
now?
The sign Jesus has been there for a while, so when...
Well, yeah, but, Sorry.
So tell me what is the... Like, what can people expect to find when they walk through those doors?
They will find a plethora of jewelry from the early 1700s to now. There are zillions of designers. It might feel a little bit overwhelming when you first walk in because you'll never see that much inventory anyplace else because I'm completely jewelry obsessed. But if I understand your style and what you like, I know every single piece I have, who made it, where it is, the history of it, and I can beeline any individual. But my favorite thing to do, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to look fabulous. The idea behind jewelry, although I think it's a need, but for most people it's a want, is if you put on a piece that you just love, it makes you feel better. You stand taller, you just, you know, and that's what it should do. You don't wear jewelry just to wear jewelry. It's because it should, you know, should make you feel better or transform you in some way. And that's what I like to do, especially if someone has an outfit or something they want to match. That's my favorite thing.
Do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It's adornmentdiva.com.
www.
Adornment.
Adornment Diva.
ADORNMENTDIVA.com.
So what are the hours and what is the address?
The address is 161 Main Street.
Yep.
And the hours, we're trying to feel it out, so we're now open 7 days a week. And Friday and Saturday from 10:30 to 7:30 p.m., ooh. Sunday 10:30 to 6 p.m., and Monday through Thursday 10:30 to 5:30 Nope, to 6. To 6 p.m. 6:30, I'm sorry. This is all new. I just started.
Are they all posted on your website?
They're posted on the website. They're posted on the door. Okay. So actually, the week, Monday through Thursday till 6:30, Sunday till 6, Friday and Saturday till 7:30. I saw that a lot of stores close early, but given what's going on in Gloucester now and the hotel and the restaurants, hey, I figure, you know, come on up the street and we'll be there.
That's right. Well, we give props to the stores that do stay open.
Yeah.
Yours being one, if you're going to be one, the Harbor Goods, the Life is Good Lady's always open. Toodaloo's usually stays open late.
Brass Monkey's going to stay
open late. Brass Monkey stays open late. TBT Post stays open late. Super props to those people, because activity breeds activity. People see lights on, and it breeds activity.
Yeah.
Just like when you're younger, you go into the bars in Boston, they always kept that line outside, right? Why they could, the inside could be empty, but they kept the line because everybody goes by, they see the activity, like, I got to go to that place, right? So keep the lights on.
Well, especially people work.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do, you know, at 5 o'clock when everything's closed and you have to go get something other than a grocery store?
Kat Ryan, we are with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
You were a big part of the Harbor Walk. You were very involved. Tell me what your involvement with the Harbor Walk was from the inception.
Curation and content writing.
For the
42-story moment markers.
Which people can use their cell phone.
You can take 3 self-guided tours. You can walk and visit the trail markers that are dispersed throughout the town, from Stageport to Cruiseport. You can use your phone to get more content information off of every marker or from online. There's a little mini one that is a guided tour by Anne Marie, who is in Bandit Kings and works at Bananas, and that takes you to less than 12 of them, and they focus on 2 interactive movies, and they've souped them up with really fun selfie opportunities, which kids get right away. You know, adults are really like, what's going on? But the kids jump right in. And then, what's the third one? you run around and you can get the traceable icons. Every one of them has a 3D icon.
Oh.
Original icon. Kids can go around by bike, walking, or some kids are driven and send them in. The mayor sends a certificate, and over the summer, related to the Harbor Walk movies, they can get submitted in for a drawing for a prize at the end of the summer.
Wow.
So, the reason we brought up the Harbor Walk is this week is a kickoff of what?
The 13th.
The 13th starts what?
The Harbor Walk Summer Cinema, third year. And the first
So Rob Newton from Cape Ann Community Cinema has this enormous blow up movie screen, and it's where locals consider it I-4C2. It's right across from where Topside Grill is on Rogers Street.
Yep, it's a jumbo screen.
Yep.
He curates the movies, and he works with the city. The city brings it to us, and then there are sponsors. The main sponsors are Cape Ann Savings Bank, North Shore Community College, and North Shore 104.9 this year. And then every movie, every weekly movie has another little local sponsor. So it's fun to see what businesses pair up with a movie. So Toodaloo's has Minions.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense. But it's also really cool. So people, they bring their children, or even adults, because they're actually, the movies that they pick could be
fantastic.
Fun for anyone.
Yeah.
And you beach people tailgate.
Yep.
You know, you bring beach blankets. And some people get really creative with the space that they stake out.
They have like swimming pools.
Inflatable pools. They throw the pillows in their kids.
And dogs? Bring dogs?
Oh. No, I don't. Are you allowed to bring?
Oh,
dogs?
You're a dog person.
I don't know.
Are you bringing do you bring your dog to Good Harbor Beach?
Only when she's allowed there.
See, I baited her right there. Yeah. I totally baited her.
I've been doing that for a million years, so that I know. And she'll go in the water at any time of year. She's really cute.
Does she poop all over the place?
And
does she trample on the piping plover nesting areas?
She does not touch the plovers, and if there is any poop, I make sure to pick it up. And I have picked up my share of other dogs' poops, I might also add, and litter, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
That makes me crazy.
late.
There you go.
That makes me absolutely crazy.
I totally baited her. That was a setup right there.
Well,
she did good. It did really well.
Kat Ryan, I want to give you props for the post, which was really in Kim's wheelhouse, but the lady that, was her name Carla?
Deborah Kramer.
And she reached out to us after she saw the post. Yeah. We kind of took her off guard, didn't we? Yeah. So why don't you talk about that? The book.
Deborah Kramer wrote a fantastic book called The Narrow Edge, which focuses mostly on sandpipers and the shorebirds. And she lives in Gloucester and just did an incredible research and project and beautifully written book following it. And a big part of it is horseshoe crab. So since that book was published, she's doing more work on marshes and horseshoe crabs. And she saw the post and reached out for anybody in Gloucester who has recollections and memories of, you know, did they see horseshoe crabs? Did they?
I remember seeing horseshoe crabs as probably 9, 10 years old on Rocky Neck on Watson's Cove.
You do? Did you tell her that?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't.
That's okay. We'll add that in. People are already adding in.
Right. That's
good.
But Kat Ryan, we should sit back up a little bit. You took an excerpt from this book about
several excerpts,
which were directly related to plovers, right? Or
it was related to the plovers. It was related to mixed use on the beach and dogs. Mm-hmm. And just when Kim had done all these incredible photos about piping plovers and about being mindful with dogs and being near them and giving them space, it reminded me when I read her book, something that I was guilty of, and Deborah Kramer wrote herself. There were so many sandpipers on Long Beach and other beaches, and they are so beautiful how they soar up and then all go together, and they're just, you know,
they're really
dazzlingly
cool.
Moving all over the place. And you know, she talked about how far they travel and how fast they're eating, and it's so disruptive. And I didn't know any of that till I read her book.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Well, thank you. You got a sticky for that. Has everybody noticed my new thing?
Yeah.
I do like a sticky of the day.
I felt like I got a gold star.
Yeah. No, I know. It's kind of like a little torn out little rewards. So Craig Kimberly did that post on the new pasta place.
So great.
Have you been there yet? Yeah.
I have.
Is Bo's Juicery gone?
I have. Yeah,
the
juice is gone. And
that was like
and that gallery is gone on that corner. But the thing I love about Craig's movie is when he gets caught in the door and he just keeps talking going out. It's so
Craig is.
You have to watch it to the end.
Yeah,
watch his little movie to the end. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, but it's very exciting to have a homemade pasta
place.
Right.
Very exciting.
Heartless. Now we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Go ahead. You're talking about Harville's Parade tonight.
Yes.
By the time anyone listens to this, it's going to be passed.
I do, but
so you can talk about it, but there's no need to give information about when it starts and stuff, because by the time people listen to
people are already off.
Right.
But I didn't know. Did you know the dedication for the fireworks tonight?
No.
It's for Pulse Orlando, and there's going to be a moment of silence.
For who?
Pulse. Disco club in Orlando.
Oh, that's the name of the club?
People got killed.
And there's going to be a moment of silence, so this is not related to there's a firework problem. This is a deliberate, really beautiful opening.
And there's going to be a colorful firework, rainbow fireworks for them. At the beginning. That's what Mayor, Mayor Safatia sent us a press release this morning about that.
And we're going to post that.
It's already posted.
Okay.
Yeah, if you read the blog, you'd know that.
Wow.
It's a joke. I'm guilty. I'm just joking. Very nervous. You see the look on her face. Like,
actually, this morning I was filming plovers all morning before I got here, so I can't wait to see them.
Oh, really? You're filming plovers?
Yeah.
Have you done a plover or film yet? I'm not film. Have you done a plover video?
No, I'm going to do that plover film. Yeah,
you have to really.
No, but what I'm talking about, have you posted on Good Morning Gloucester a video of plovers like bouncing around?
No, I'm going to do it all together.
Oh, you're going to save it for the very end?
Yes, okay. I'm going to save it until we have the conclusion, whatever the conclusion will be. Because it's a little story that it made about it.
Oh.
Yeah. In terms of the fireworks, can you see them from everywhere, or do you have to go to a state fair
park? Not everywhere, but you could. If you're downtown, you can generally see them. Best place to see them would be Stage Fort, second best, the Boulevard, actually, because they have the music, the band, The Runaround. Everybody tries to get to it's tough to get to the Boulevard.
Yeah, that's...
stake out a place early. But, yeah, Mile Marker would probably be a good spot to watch it.
Oh, there you go.
Right?
And a good spot to have
nice
a drink.
Nice to meet you. I can't wait to hear about the
Lupin. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
There you go.
Nice meeting you.
Kat, thanks for... Kat Ryan's making an exit. Thank you, Kat. Thank you very much. All right. Oh, my Lord. Sedalia.
Hi.
We're finally getting to you.
That's okay.
You're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I needed the time to kind of wake up.
Put your thoughts together.
Just to wake up.
To wake up.
Just to wake up.
You're an integral part of the Lion's Wah marketing team. Are you the Lion's Wah marketing team?
I am the Lion's Wah marketing team. I am the head of it.
It's not lions. It's not plural.
Correct. It's not plural.
Lion's Wah.
Lion's Wah. Correct.
Okay. And you guys are... For years now, you've been the main sponsor of the Bluefin Blowout.
We have. This is our fifth year as presenting sponsor of the Bluefin Blowout.
And you see what I've got. It's the busiest time of year for me, but I get there. So your group, when you show up at the Bluefin Blowout. An incredible presence, incredible financial obligation, I think, that you guys, and not just like movement, like the whole event, I don't think could happen without the huge sponsorship that you guys put into play. This tournament, there's nothing like it. I don't know in Massachusetts that there's a tournament like this. Mm-hmm. There used to be tournaments like this back in the 70s when there was a big heyday of tuna fishing. But this is like the premier fishing tournament in Massachusetts. And it must be a great honor. And for both, it must be a great partnership between the organizers of the Bluefin Blowout and Lion's Wah to have your name on there. Very prestigious.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we certainly look for opportunities that we can do or be a part of something that's different than other automobile dealerships. You wouldn't necessarily see that lineup right from the get-go, but we are just thrilled to be a part of the community, supporting something that is really exciting and fun and brings people together and teaches them about, you know, not only the tuna industry, but just in general Gloucester and, again, the community. So we really are honored to be there. We, of course, bring all of our vehicles. We have 7 dealerships in total, so we bring all of them out and showcase, you know, the best of the best during that tournament. And it's just an exciting weekend of not only celebration about, you know, the fishing industry, but just, again, community and, you know, just being together as a group and being involved.
A couple of years ago, it was like a car that was in the water.
The Mini.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had the Mini. It was actually not an actual car. So Mini is one of our brands. But Mini Corporate created this fiberglass Mini, and it actually had like a jet ski engine.
Polishing, yes.
So we put that into the ocean, and we floated that around.
That's so
and
cool.
Hired somebody to kind of be out and about with it. I forgot about that. That seems like a long time ago, but it was so fun.
It was so fun to see that there. Yeah,
different.
Totally.
A lot of people thought it was actually, you know, the car had fallen into the ocean. Yeah. But,
and floating.
Yeah.
And floating.
Yeah. And the driver was waving like it was all normal.
Yeah. There's always something really exciting that happens. Last year there was a boat that caught on fire, so there's always like so much action.
A lot of drama.
A lot of drama, a lot of stuff that happens while the fishermen are out.
Yeah.
So
there's a leaderboard. You can see like, you know, what gets landed. Do they have a is there like a buy-in for like a, what do you call that?
The Calcuttas.
Do they have the Calcuttas and stuff like that?
Yeah, they do. That's one thing that I'm not really familiar with as far as like how all that works, but it's kind of, it's a betting game, right? Yeah.
I think they put in their own purse.
Right.
And whoever, you know, they buy into.
The captain doesn't have to buy just their boat. If you were fishing the tournament, And if the Joey C was fishing and the Eric S was fishing, I could buy the Joey C, you could buy my boat.
Oh, right.
Why would you do that? I don't know, but yeah, other people can buy other boats.
That would be, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Probably sympathy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, let's give Schwartz the benefit of the doubt. He'll bring in a mackerel.
Eric, are you going to be participating?
I don't think so this year. I think I'm going to be on land.
In a drinking capacity?
No. Giving my wife a hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
good man.
Taking pictures.
Yeah.
Is it just people from Gloucester, or is it?
No. They have a huge reach. This is a big time tournament.
You get boats from as far south as Point Judith, Rhode Island.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah. I bet you there's some Carolina boats, no?
I don't think they've had Carolina. I think Rhode Island's the furthest south.
Yeah.
Really?
We have a total of 40 already, and this is August. The event is August 4th through the 6th, so we already have 40 boats that are fishing in the tournament. This year, it's a little different in as far as years past, because this year they're doing an overnighter. So fishermen will...
What does that mean?
So they can go a lot farther. Oh. Yeah, versus having to come in every night. So
you had to be to weigh in and have a count. You had to be past a mark at a certain time.
Okay.
This year, some of the bigger boats that spend a lot of money on fuel, it didn't make sense for them. They kind of bowed out of the tournament. Okay. Now that they can go out and stay out without having to run both days, they're saving money on fuel.
Okay. Yeah, to get tuna, how far out do you have to go?
I mean, you could be lucky and be 30, 40 minutes out, but you know, all depending how fast your boat runs, 2.5 hours, 2 hours. You know.
It's just they could be right on by the shore, and then
they have tails.
Is our friend Captain Dave doing it?
I don't know who all the participants are yet. We actually just started talking about the tournament this year a couple of weeks ago, where we were just starting to feel out what our involvement is going to be, given the overnight component. But also this year we're going to be having the proceeds of a live and silent auction go towards Alzheimer's, which is really something that's near and dear to our automotive group. So
my dad is in a nursing home right now.
Is that right? Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. It's really
the scariest of the scary diseases.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah, long time.
It really is.
Yeah.
So we're really starting to kind of put together a plan as far as, you know, what some of those live and silent auction items might be. Starting to reach out to the community and some area stores.
You're a cool piece of jewelry.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Donna.
For sure.
So we are looking at to community and stores to donate not only their time, but be creative with what they donate. You know, a trip out with little kids in a boat to haul lobsters, or you know, maybe Donna telling kids, you know, somebody who was really really loves fashion and jewelry, you know, having them at the shop selling it with her, you know, just experiences, something that's different that people will be really keen into plugging
themselves. You should see, so people should also know that there's a lot of equipment manufacturers, like clothing companies, eyeglass places, fishing gear companies that exhibit at this thing. So anybody that's involved, you don't have to be a tuna fisherman.
Right, exactly.
Anybody that likes sport fishing at all, in any capacity, should. I mean, it's an exciting day. Exactly. Maya Mark has the huge tent. You walk through the tent, you can see all these different people that are selling really cool gear.
Yeah.
And last
year, we did a brew fest during the day on Saturday. So Saturday is really the day that family and friends should come out, because that's when the fish is going to get weighed in. And when the fish comes in, you have never
spectacle.
Seen... It's a spectacle.
Yeah.
It's like...
Big crane. Hauling it up. It's wild.
You see them hanging.
It's like two times me. I'm only 5 feet, so I mean, it doesn't take much, but
I got a half inch on you.
It's huge. And it's very exciting. And when the children come, you know, some kids that are really into fishing, and they come, their eyes are just so sparkly. But we really wanted to, and this again is part of our conversation, is opening it up, making it more family and kid friendly, where we might have you know, Tono doing something with how to cut tuna. We might have, you know, how to harpoon or how to bring in lobsters, how to tie a knot.
Kids with a harpoon, that's a good idea.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. We like to just take it to the next.
Try to catch the harpoon. Yeah, it's coming at you. Harpoon catching.
Yeah. Bring kids. Anyway, and then I also thought it would be really fun to get a dunk tank, and then you can buy some balls for Alzheimer's and throw them at captains, at friends, at family, moms, dads. Wow, just like get them in the dunk tank and get people involved. So we're looking for people to reach out with things that they might want to do during that day that they feel would be really cool for their kids to come down. And you know, we're just right now starting to plan that out, so suggestions are welcome.
Where can people find information?
Bluefin Blowout has
.com.
They have a website that
they have a really good Facebook page.
Yes.
So I bet you can search Bluefin Blowout, because they, I know whoever's in charge of it, I don't know if it's Drew or not. Drew Hale, is he in charge of the Bluefin Blowout?
Drew does some of that as well, yeah.
And they have really good information on and live updates.
Yes.
And we should mention, where can people find out information about the Lion Wah Group?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Lionwah.com, LYONWAUGH.com.
LYONWAUGH .com.
.com.
All right, we're going to put that in. There's no hyphen.
There is no hyphen.
All right. Boom. Got a link.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah, I'm psyched.
Well, great.
I'm excited for the... Oh, we didn't mention the date. What's the date?
The date is August 4th.
August 4th.
It runs from the 4th through the 6th.
Is that over weekend? Is that a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It's, yeah, the check-in for the captains is on the Thursday, and then that's just when they check in, get their bags, get the rules, and then they go out fishing, and then the weigh-ins happen on Saturday. So
they all go out at the same time, like all these boats?
They can leave anytime after midnight. So some people will leave at 2, some people at 4.
You mean 4. Midnight on Thursday?
Midnight on Thursday.
I see.
It's a Friday morning.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to figure out how these giant boats all get out there at the same time.
All depend on where they're going and how far they have to run.
Are there any? Do we know if there's any Wicked Tuna boats participating?
We don't know. You know, Wicked Tuna has some rules and regulations that they have to stick within. We're hoping that some will. Last year, or was it the year before?
Year before,
.com did win purse. They took home not only, you know, the dollars, but also a nice Audi.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this year we're going to...
become a tuna fisherman.
We're looking into...
Holy Jesus.
Either an Audi or one of our other brands, BMW, Mini, Porsche, Land Rover, Jaguar, one of those.
Jeez, it's all exclusive brands. It's very high end, huh?
Very
there's
high
no,
end.
There's
all
no,
luxury.
Yeah, it's a total luxury.
All
group.
Luxury.
So
I forgot Acura, I'm sorry.
It makes total sense.
All luxury.
Because Bluefin Blowout, you know, people of means generally have these nice fancy sport fishing boats. So, totally good. It makes sense, that partnership.
I can see our friend Nancy Marciano driving a Jaguar.
Oh, Nancy is actually, she loves the Mini. When we had the Mini on display that year that you're talking about, she was so excited about that car. We had her in it, and
the convertible
blue one. She loved it.
I don't know if there's anyone that smiles more than Nancy Marciano. Yeah. She's always got a huge smile on her face.
Big smile. Even when you see her at Stop and Shop in North Beverly, you see that beaming smile.
Yeah, God bless her. Yeah.
She's excited.
God bless her.
There you go. Speaking of Dave Marciano. How about that for a segue?
Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha. Yeah, the Yankee Caps is teaming up with Captain Dave Marciano, and why don't you explain what's going on?
Well, tomorrow, Captain Dave is taking out, I think there are 65 wounded vets on a fishing trip. They're leaving tomorrow at 7:30, and I think they're catching...
haddock?
Yeah, and they said not cod, though.
Okay.
And but he's working with the Yankee fleet, right?
Yeah.
And then
Tom Ouellette is the owns the Yankee fleet.
Yes. How do you pronounce his name?
Oriel.
Oriel. And then also he's working with this
Mayor Safatia donated gift bags from the city to the vets, and then Jim Destino, who does catering for
Destino's, they're
donating all the food tomorrow.
Wow!
So it's pretty awesome. Mm, wow. Pretty awesome event. That's
little give back.
Tomorrow. Yeah, real give
back. Big give back, not yeah, a little big, give back. Yeah, big, big give back.
Well, I from what I understand, he usually takes out smaller groups of vets throughout the year, but he's been so busy this past year, and he wanted to take a bigger group. So that's why. So I think there's a 100-person capacity on this on the Yankee fleet boat that they're going out on. I have the name of the exact boat. It's back here in my notes.
Is it the Patriot? Yankee Patriot? Because that would make
the
sense.
The Yankee Freedom.
Yankee Freedom.
Yankee Freedom, yeah. Redfish and haddock. That's what they're fishing for.
I know there's a lot of haddock around, so they're going to have a good time. Can you talk a little bit about, did you look into this Cape Ann walking tours thing?
Oh, no, I haven't looked into it too much. I know a little bit about
okay,
it.
Okay, can you talk about that?
Yes, well, there's the architects, Halloran and, I can't remember the other name of the partnership, but they there's a huge exhibit at Cape Ann Museum, and they're going to specifically highlighting some featuring architects. So the tour is, there are a number of them this summer. And then Catherine Ryan and myself and Manny, we were asked to go and photograph the tour. So that's as far as I've gotten in my information about that. But one thing that's really cool is a very dear friend of mine is actually going to be doing a film about this architectural group. And she's going to be one of the people doing the lectures. Her name's Lida Kuth, and that's coming up. But I don't know. I don't have any more details than that. I think Catherine knew had all the details, and she.
I think you and Catherine are going to work on a little collaborate on.
Collaborate. It'll be fun. She'll write it, and I'll photograph it.
Walking tours.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you to who reached out to us, Testa Verde Goodick. Nina Testaverde who reached out to us and asked us to shed some light on that.
Yes.
I want to talk. Oh, we're going to give props. And so about 3 weeks ago, I happened to go to the Burnham's Field for Eric Lord and his daughter's softball game.
Okay.
We watched that, and I couldn't believe how beautiful that field, when I was a kid, was like the rundown field.
It was, even back then it was.
Back then it was like not a great, you know, not manicured the way it is now.
Right,
let's put it that way.
Because my whole kid's time here, it was scuzzy too. So.
There was a huge financial thing put into that.
Yes.
The park. Then they have the gardens, the community garden there.
Right.
Now just another layer of awesomeness.
John
our friend John McElhenney was posting pictures of, they have like a little water feature where you know how they have those, everywhere you go now, they have these water pads, and the water squirts up, and the kids run through them in the middle of the summer.
What do you mean, kids? Adults, too.
Yeah, adults like Eric.
I'm going right now.
Yeah, you take it out. Yeah, get a skinny dip today. Get a rest.
Well, I think John put up a post on Facebook, which was three older
women from Sheedy Park.
Old age home. Yeah, they saw the kids running through it and saw how much fun they were having. At the old
Would define old.
So like, you know, this like inner city is the hugest green space downtown.
Right.
Long neglected.
Yes.
Has got turned in from that turned on its head to like this crown jewel of the inner city.
Yeah.
Awesome space for like not just young, like everyone to enjoy. Yeah, it's like a win times a bazillion.
Everyone's a kid.
Everyone. Yeah. I mean, there's this like curving like kind of path around in there for people to take walks.
Nice.
The grass is like manicured, like someone took a pair of clippers, and there's like nice soft, like around the playground part of it, all new playground equipment, and like if kids fall off of it, like safe places for them to land.
Yeah.
It's like a big time props. Yeah. Melissa Cox, gonna give her some, you know, big thing because she's the ward counselor in the Deuce. And so we like to highlight those type of wins.
And Steve Winslow, right? Was he involved?
Steve Winslow from Community Development, played a big part of it. you know, the city.
We should get a list sometime of all those folks who are involved in that, so we don't miss anybody.
Did we talk about? I don't know. Did we gloss over? Or did we talk about Craig's video at the new pasta place?
I think
we talk about the pre-notes, or did we talk about it?
I don't think we talked about it.
Okay. Yeah. So Craig, so the Sticky of the Day is a new feature I'm doing. I'm kind of, and some days I'm going to miss it. So if someone does a really great post and I miss it, don't freak out, because I just don't have the energy right now. But Sticky of the Day is to kind of reward one of our contributors that goes above and beyond, has like a really awesome post. And believe me, there's days that I don't look at the blog. So if I miss your awesome post as a contributor, don't lose your mind on me. Yesterday happened to be Craig Kimberly. I love business, local businesses, and especially startups. So this new, I didn't even know about it. Where Bo's Juicery was, they have a new pasta. Do you know what the name of the place is?
Pastio or some.
Is it at the end of the street, yeah, end of Main Street?
No, it's on. It's on Center
Via
Street.
Corta. Yeah. I'm looking at the blog.
Say it again.
Pastio Via Corta, if I'm saying that correctly.
Pastio.
Via Corta. That's how you say
Pastio
it.
Pastio Via Corta. And it's on Middle Street on the higher. It's on Center Street.
It's on Center Street.
Closer to Middle Street, and they're making pasta there.
11 Center.
Yeah, 11 Center Street.
Oh my God! What a dangerous place.
It's a dangerous place. Homemade raviolis.
Oh, dangerous in that way. Okay.
I'm dead.
Homemade raviolis.
Oh my God! Look at that.
A huge selection of all different kinds of pasta.
And
Craig's video was fabulous.
So he got a Sticky of the Day yesterday.
Have they had any other place, or is this their first? Or
You have to look at the video.
I did listen to it. I think she said she's been making it for 4 or 5 years.
Did Craig fly the drone in there? I haven't watched the video yet. Did he fly the drone?
Not in there. He got caught up in the door or something, didn't he?
Is that what happened? I wondered what happened.
At the end there, he couldn't get in, but he kept talking.
That's
great. Yeah.
He's great.
Kim, give us the wing and creature update of the week.
Winged creature update. Okay, well, the plovers are doing beautifully, which is so surprising to me. People are being super respectful, it seems. They are going about their daily business of... every morning when I'm filming them, they're usually changing guard, basically. So that's a really interesting.
What does that mean?
That one's been sitting on the nest all night, and the other one comes in to relieve it. And I can't tell who's who
unless the male, the female.
Right, unless they're side by side. In some of the footage I have, they're side by side, and the female's a little bit smaller, and her beak isn't quite as bright orange brown, but an orange.
When do they hatch?
They should be hatching very soon now. It takes 4 weeks, and it's been almost 4 weeks since the nest was constructed. So there's three little eggs in the nest, and
I'm surprised the coyotes haven't stiffed them up yet.
Well, they're in that enclosure, right? And like the other day, some crows were out there, and the birds came and zoomed over to the crows, and they chased. They're tiny. They're this big, and they chase those big giant crows. It's really amazing how brave they are and how feisty they are.
And the crows are not. They're nasty.
Yeah, they're nasty.
The crows, when around here, the crows, I don't know what happened. I feel like the crows are on steroids.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They're huge. The crows are like, they're as big as seagulls.
They're bigger. There was one in a tree I have, and all of a sudden I see the tree sway. And this bird was like an airplane.
You know where the crows nest, right? The crows nest. You know where Stone's Pub is?
Yes. Yeah.
That parking lot, right across from Halibut Point.
Yeah.
At night, if you park your car underneath the Jamie Verga, who's the main bartender at Stone's, parked his car underneath this tree overnight, came back. Wow. Literally painted with crow shit. Like you couldn't see the paint. It's a black car. That many crows.
Yeah. Wow.
Like if you look up there at dusk, so you can see the shadows, it's an incredible sight.
Yeah. Like
oh my God.
And they come in all at once.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, bananas.
Is Hitchcock around there?
Not park just like any of our cars under that tree.
No, where I park my car.
No, to self.
Yeah, well, the seagull shit isn't so fun either. Every night I have to hose my car.
But see, the thing with the seagulls don't go in packs like this. One tree where there's 1,000 crows. If you park under it, I'm not exaggerating, it's not like 13 drops, it's like 500 drops of poop.
Wait.
Yeah, crow poop.
Yeah, well, mine,
exactly. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Okay, no, that's all right.
Crow, so, I mean.
Well, the crows are bad, but the
enclosure that Mass Audubon built is incredible because the grid is big enough for the crow, for the plovers to get in and out of, but crows and seagulls can't.
They can't fly.
So it's
there's netting on top.
Oh, there is a netting. Okay.
So
they're really protected.
They're
nice.
Really protected. So the enclosure is about 6 feet in diameter, I would say roughly. And then there's a netting on top, and then the gridded fence all the way around it. So, and then this morning, a pigeon was trying to get, and I don't know if pigeons eat eggs, but a pigeon flew in and was hovering, so the one left its nest, and the other one, and they ran after the
pigeon.
They attacked the pigeon.
Bad pigeon.
But when you see a pigeon is this big, and a plover is this big.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I'm using my hands. A pigeon's like 18 inches, you know, 12 to 18 inches, and a plover's about 4 to 5 inches.
Yeah.
So it's really...
Well, when they have the babies, they get aggressive. Love it.
Yeah, when they're nesting.
Well, here, my creature update.
Yeah.
My creature update. So yeah. I have my Jeep right now, right? And so I park it underneath. My mom has like a little carport underneath in the back of her house. You can't see. And the trash is, in a trash bin, you know, with a cover. And the strap, the hat, you know, we have one of those bungees that you go over because the raccoons are brutal, right?
Yeah.
You can't leave it out or you're going to be picking up stuff.
Sure.
And coyotes, too.
And crows.
So last night, what did I leave? I left something. I needed to go out to my truck to get something. I opened the door and there's a fucking raccoon
staring
in the face.
Oh,
but it was a baby raccoon. Oh. But
he was cute.
Huh?
Yeah, he was cute.
I was terrified.
Yeah.
So this morning, they're terrifying, right? So I woke up this morning. So all night long, I couldn't sleep. Because I knew I had to go out that door to get to my truck this morning, and when I leave for work, it's 4:30 in the morning. It's dark.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be... And I had it because the Jeep, it was left underneath the carport, I was just wrought with fear that I was going to open the door of my Jeep and a fucking raccoon's going to lunge at my neck, bite my neck and get my juggler van. I was going to bleed out and no one's going to know what I was going to be
about. Nobody was going to get lobsters. Darn it.
It's crazy.
I have a creature report.
Okay.
I looked out my back window and there's like 85 giant wild turkeys, but there were babies.
Oh, yeah.
Baby turkeys?
Baby turkeys, which are...
ugly.
Not so small.
Oh, they're so cute.
No, yeah, they're
not. They're not so cute.
They're so cute.
They're wretched.
No, they're just like small versions of the not so cute big ones. But there they were, just walking along.
Aww. I should put my baby turkey film up.
They trashed them.
Yeah, just like
totally. Party.
Just trash them.
Yeah, sheer terror with the raccoons.
They are. They're terrifying. One crawled up my arm once. I didn't know it was there because I was putting something in the trash and it went up my arm.
It must have been small.
It is.
I was up on the deck and I hear this scream. I live in a Marblehead.
Oh, it was really. I know how it is. Even little mice, they can terrify you.
I'm with you. See, me and you.
We're right there together.
I'm afraid of ants.
We're screaming.
That's a separate thing.
Ants? Not so much ants.
You got a dog. You should be an animal person.
I watched that show with Charlton Heston. You're all too young for this. It was called The Naked Jungle. And there were the marabunta, which are the soldier ants, which eat, I mean, they eat anything in their way. From that moment on, I have
wait, they eat flesh? They're flesh-eating ants?
They eat anything. Look up soldier ants.
Okay.
See, this is why I don't go into the wilderness. This is why I'm a city person.
Ants.
Okay.
They're not here.
Is someone here?
Someone's yelling. Let me see.
All right, we're going to go around now. Here's a question. The question is, two options. Wilderness camp or high-end hotel in the city? Where are you going with?
High-end hotel in the city. I'm too old to go to wilderness camp.
Without a doubt, high-end. I'm sorry.
Answer
wilderness camp.
Oh!
Bye-bye.
That's hard for me. I like both.
Choose one.
You got to choose. You got to pick. Don't go Toby on me right here.
Ah.
Wilderness camp.
Yeah, really?
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Hey, I want you two to have a really great day.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
We're getting room service in a spa.
Have fun with all your animals and the ants that are going to devour your skin.
Oh, okay.
We will be in the spa.
Yes.
We'll be having treatments.
All day long.
We'll be eating like food caviar.
Yeah,
and chocolate-covered strawberries.
Chocolate-covered strawberries.
With champagne.
Oh, all in.
I'm there.
Oh, my God.
All in.
There now.
Massage.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the stamp does turn downs. At night.
Yeah, the fucking bear. When he turns down your tent and eats you.
It's not a mint. It's a bug.
There you go. All right, GloucesterCast 190. Everybody go to www.adormantdiva.com, 161 Main Street, Gloucester, Mass.
Thank you.
Donna Sadalter Toman Open Divas, Donna's Infinite Variety of Adornments. Everybody get ready. Mark your calendars, August 4th to 6th. Lion Walk, Bluefin Blowout, main sponsor. Sedalia, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Bringing your my good buddy. Does he tell you when he sneaks away from work and he comes down here for sausage sandwiches?
He does. He really should be doing a lot of this. He loves people. He loves boats. He loves fish. He loves all of that.
He tells
me that.
Bluefin Blowout, though. And you can go to lionwa.com. Check out all their awesome cars. Go to www.bluefinblowout.com. Even better than their website is probably their Facebook page. But both of them, you get a lot of information about the tournament. It's a three-day tournament this year, right? It starts on the 4th.
4th through the 6th.
The Saturday is the big day, right?
Saturday's the day.
Saturday's the weigh-in day.
That's right.
There you go. Kim Smith Designs, is that the, what's your website?
Kim Smith Designs.
You can see what's the latest with her. Yeah, all good. Everybody have a good, safe holiday.
Thank you.
And that's it. GloucesterCast. Out.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. That was fun.
Great fun.
We did it.
We did.
Mm-hmm.